Om Sang Sarasvati Nama. We're going to begin with an understanding what the animal sacrifice is really about. It's not really the sacrifice of an animal. It's the sacrifice of our own animalism. And that's what the sacrifice is designed to convey. That we take all of our egotism and all of our animalism and all the responses that come from the lower chakras and we give it to a pumpkin. We do. We call it chalkumbra. It's not really a pumpkin. What do you call it in English?
A gourd.
A gourd, but what? Kushmanda. Yeah, but that's not in English. Thanks a lot. I could do that. You're the one who goes to the store. What do you call it? When they scan it at the checkout stand, what do they say to you?
They say, what is this?
They say, what is it? They always say, what is this? With all the vegetables we bring, but what did they call it?
It's a kabocha.
A kabocha squash. Thanks, Gotan. Well, that's the squash that we use. And we take all of our animalism and all the negativities that come from the lower chakras that bind us to this world of egotism and duality. And we take all of that duality and all of that negativity and we give it to that kabocha, that kushmanta. And then we worship the sword. I can show you my sword. Excuse me. And we take that squash and put it on the cutting board and raise the knife and we actually cut that squash into two. And with it, we surrender all the negativities, all the duality of our animalistic behavior. And that's what the animal sacrifice is about. It has nothing to do with taking the life of another being. Although, in the olden days, the kings ate meat. We move from a hunting, carnivorous group of individuals, and from gathering, we moved into cultivation, and pretty soon we became civilized in some ways or other. So when the kings, the kshatriyas, did go out to eat meat, it was more appropriate for them to offer their victims in a holy atmosphere to appreciate the sacrifice of life into life for the nourishment and sustenance of the body, to perform it, the actions, as a puja in a ritual in the temple guided by priests, and to share with the entire community who wanted to partake. And that's how the animal sacrifice came into being. But for sadhus, the significance of this worship is the sacrifice of animalism. And that's just what we want to learn from the performance of this puja. How to give up all of our negative attachments in this world of duality. Let's go back and read the nature of the animal sacrifices. Creation, Maya, dissolution, I am one with God. Okay, we're going to take the cup to our heart, meditate upon the presence of the deity, and then put it back upon the square and ring the bell. If one has the desire to eat meat, it should be offered with the highest respect and appreciation and shared with the community as a rite of worship. The offering conveys all impurities and sense of separation, which are actually the offerings to be sacrificed in worship. The entire ceremony, from the slaying of the animal to the preparation, offering, and partaking, should be designed to encourage the surrender of the animalistic nature of each of the participants. It is very common to substitute a squash or pumpkin for an animal, and much more respectful than the purchase of packaged meat from a grocery store. Om Maya, increase, dissolution, to the highest female divinity, I am one with God. I offer and bow to the energy of infinite goodness with this offering. You are the cause of the end of 10 million ages of time. Please accept this excellent offering and grant to me eternal liberation. I sprinkle water over the offering, the Dana Mudra, Remember on Ritikaran Mudra? And worship the offering. Namaha, I bow. The Pashu Gayatri, the Gayatri mantra in honor of the sacrifice of life. We meditate upon the bondage of the life of a beast, my own. Contemplate the doer of all action. May that life force grant us increase. Worship the knife. Cut the ego. I bow to the female lord of all vibrations with her husband, the creative capacity at the end. I bow to Lakshmi and Narayan in the middle. I bow to Uma and Maheshwar in the handle. I bow to Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva, along with their Shaktis situated in the sword. Now we hold the victim in the air, take the sankalpa, return the sacrificial victim to the ground, and meditate. And then we sever the sacrificial victim with one stroke of the knife. With the cream mantra, we place a candle on the severed head and offer it to the goddess. I bow to the goddess with this offering of a head with a light on it. That is, the head is radiating light. Please take it and let it radiate light. While repeating the Mula Mantra, Om Rim Srim Krim Parameshwari Kalike Swaha, sprinkle the water of the special offering, Visheshorgya, that's the one in the conch shell, 3 times over the deity. And then make nyas of the Devi to the 6 parts of her body. Krong Hridaya Inabo Kring Sirose Spa Krung Sikayo Kibasha Kring Kabachayam Krong Nitra Trihabosha Kra Kurolto Kapishta Bangastaya Pat. Om Ring String Kring Parameshwari Kalike Swaha. This ceremony is called Shakali Karan or Sakali Kriti. Then worship again with all the 16 offerings. Remember, we use Raj Opachar. We offer light, incense, camphor, flower, umbrella, bhog, water, tambul, dakshina, umbrella, chamar, a fan, a mirror, and a flower. Shorasa Upachar Puja. And these are, okay, these are water for washing the feet, water for the offering, water for rinsing the mouth and her bath. Garments, jewels, perfume, flowers, incense stick, light, food, water for washing the mouth, the nectar or the alcoholic beverage, pan or mouth freshener, and obeisance. And in worship, these 16 offerings are needed, and that's from Mahanirvana Tantra. This Sri Patra should be placed in the company of one's own virtuous Shakti. She should be sprinkled in the form of a bath with a purified wine or water from the common offering. So either you take a few drops of wine and pour it over, make an abhishek over your shakti, or take a few drops of water. The mantra for the sprinkling of the shakti is Eng Kling Shao Tripurai Namaha Imong Shakting Pavitri Kuru Mama Shakting Kuru Swaha. Creation, preservation, all existence, I bow to Tripura. To she who resides in the 3 cities, purify the Shakti, make her my Shakti. I am one with God. If she who is to be Shakti is not already initiated, then the Maya Bija, ring, should be whispered into her ear, and other Shaktis who are present should be worshipped and not enjoyed. That is, we worship all the ladies present in the chakra, in the circle. Let the assembled worshippers then joyously take up each his own cup filled with excellent nectar. Then let him take up each his own cup and meditate upon the Kula Kundalini, who is consciousness and who is spread from the Muladhara lotus to the tip of the tongue. And uttering the Mula Mantra, Om Ring String Pring Parameshwari Kalike Swaha, let each, after taking the other's permission, may I, offer it as an oblation to the mouth of Kundalini. So we're taking the wine into the mouth of Kundalini. It just happens she resides on the tip of our tongue. When the Shakti is of the household, the smelling of the wine is the equivalent of drinking it. Worshippers who are householders may drink a maximum of 5 cups only. It was very clearly specified. But they didn't say how big the cup is. Excessive drinking prevents the attainment of success by Kula worshippers.
They may drink until the sight or the mind is not affected. To drink beyond that is beastly. How is it possible for a sinner who becomes a fool through drink and who shows contempt for the sadhak of sakti to say, I worship Adhyakalika, the supreme female divinity? And that's Arthur Avalon's translation. Are there any questions about the offering of the wine or the offering of the animalistic nature?
Swamiji, I have a question. While repeating the Mula Mantra, Om Rim Shrim Klim Pranishvik, sprinkle the water 3 times from the conch shell over the deity. So we're offering this to our partner,
over the deity. The deity to be worshipped is our partner.
Oh, I see.
Or you can offer it on the yantra if you like.
Or on the yantra. Mm-hmm.
If you're in your own home performing this chakra ceremony, the ceremony of the circle, it means that women of the house are not accustomed to drink, or they don't choose to drink, or they don't like to drink, then they can just smell the cup. And that is equivalent to the performance of the ritual. There's no necessity to participate in the intoxication. There is a necessity to participate in the ritual and to make the offering of animalism and the offering of the nectar of the bliss of immortal devotion as a conscious offering, but there's no necessity to engage in intoxication.
Swami, Ramakrishna said that eating meat creates animalism, didn't he?
No, he ate meat himself, and he drank fish soup.
Why did he say that eating meat will result in the end of mankind?
Vivekananda said eating meat is the most sattvic of all foods because it makes people get up and work, and they do karma. Ramakrishna said it's very important to maintain a vegetarian diet if you want to continue to meditate, because eating meat gives aggressive energy to the body. You take the fuel that's necessary for your engine to work. If you put diesel fuel in a car that runs on gasoline, it's not going to work properly. If you put 2-cycle engine oil into diesel vehicle, it won't work properly. In the same way, if you're trying to live the life of Brahmins, Brahmins are allotted 6 karmas. There are 6 activities which are appropriate for a Brahmin: to learn and to teach, to worship for oneself and to worship for others, lead others in worship, and to give what you can to every situation and to accept that which is offered in love as a token of respect, dakshina. Doesn't mean that you can be a businessman. Charge, I want this much money for this much puja. Or for this mantra, you pay this fee. That's the karma of a vaishya, a business class, mercantile class. So those 6 karmas, if you choose to perform those 6 karmas, you need the food, the fuel, that's appropriate for those karmas. So if you eat a lot of meat and develop a lot of aggressive energy, then how are you going to sit for meditation? So for this purpose, Ramakrishna says, it's more appropriate to maintain a vegetarian diet if you want to practice meditation as your life.
Well, it seems kind of contradictory to offer an animal while at the same time praying for, if you're going to eat the animal and create aggressive tendencies and then pray for to get rid of animalistic nature.
We can even go back to the sacrifice of Solomon when Abraham was called to sacrifice his son and then he found a goat. And the Lord was pleased with the sacrifice of the goat. The same analogy applies to Jesus taking all of our sins and ascending to heaven and making us free from sin. He was the Lamb of God. So here we're taking the same tradition in a much older form, said, okay, I have all of this animalistic behavior. Let me give it to the animal. Let the animal ascend to heaven and liberate me from all of that negativity. However, if we're Brahmin and we choose to live a life of contemplation and meditation, and we don't choose to go to McDonald's and Jack in the Box, then we can very easily perform the ceremony by cutting a pumpkin in half and give all of our negativity and all of our animalistic tendency to the pumpkin. and let that pumpkin go to heaven, and we will still be free from all of that negativity.
Then do you eat the pumpkin?
We give some of the pumpkin to the fire, and then we eat the rest of the pumpkin.
What's in the pumpkin when you eat it? Like, what energy remains?
The purified form of all of our negativities. So we've taken that pumpkin, we take cut it in half, we take half the pumpkin, give it in the yajna, in the fire. We take the other half that has been purified because of that pumpkin ascending to heaven, and we cut it up and put it into the labra, whatever mixed vegetable we choose to make, and then we'll all share in eating the prasad. Any other questions about how or why the sacrifice of animalism?
Why wine?
Why wine?
Not milk or any other.
Well, we have the milk in the other part of the puja, and we have the yogurt and the ghee, and we have the panchamrita, and we have the different nectars. Wine is the nectar of joy, the nectar of happiness. It symbolizes joy and the happiness, and we're calling it the nectar of pure devotion. When we press out the pure devotion and purify the pure devotion, this is part of the tantric offering of the panchamakar. And we discussed the five elements: monks, much, madera, mudra, and moitum. The five M's. Monks is the solid material, is what we take into our perceiving, that what we perceive, the objects of sense. Much are the fish that swim in the Ira and Pingala, the Ganga and Jamuna, the what we take in as prana, as pranayama. Mudra is the parched grains. Also, it's a mystical symbolism, is what they call it. Parched grains means we're one with the earth. And mudra also means showing mudras, so that we make, in sign language, we offer to the goddess our love and our devotion through the sign language. We talk with our hands, as though you were born in France or Italy. Ooh la la. Well, yeah, you just can't understand it unless you... The moitun is the union between the Purush and the Prakriti. Prakriti resides in the Muladhar. The Purush resides in the Sahasrara. And we bring that energy up so we have the fullest union. The culmination of union between Purush and Prakriti is Maitum. And Madera is offering the immortal nectar of pure devotion. And this is the symbolism, the spiritual significance of the puja with Panmakar. The ingredients which start with M, the five ingredients.